And welcome to the Rock and Roll Survivors Podcast, dedicated to those in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, and somewhere in between. I'm Kristen, and on season two, I'm joined by legendary rock star Patty Quatro, where we take a deep dive into her Detroit roots, the indelible impact of her iconic musical family, her two pioneering all-female bands, The Pleasure Seekers and Cradle, hanging with her homeboys in Detroit Rock City, and so much more. So let's get started.
Catch a little moonbeam, rink-dum-dinkum, pluck a little up top from the sky, take a little sun kiss, twinkle and start a sprinkle in your lover's eye. Oh, well, you gotta get out and catch you a lover. Love is strictly a one-man game, nobody else gonna catch it for you. You're my lover, you must name. Catch a little moonbeam, rink-dum-dinkum, pluck a little up top from the sky, take a little sun kiss, twinkle and start a sprinkle in your lover's eye. Now it has been said, if you want to catch a birdie, you gotta sprinkle salt in their back end, twirl them around and use little starters. You've got a lover, my friend. Catch a little moonbeam, rink-dum-dinkum, pluck a little up cloud from the sky, take a little sun kiss, twinkle and start a sprinkle in your lover's eye. Now if your lover loves another, listen and I'll tell you what to do. A midnight moonlight ride in your Plymouth, and she'll give her love to you. Catch a little moonbeam, rink-dum-dinkum, pluck a little love cloud from the sky, take a little sun kiss, twinkle and start a sprinkle in your lover's eye. Now when you finally found your lover and you want to settle down to a happy life, pledge your love to one another and become one as man and wife. Catch a little moonbeam, rink-dum-dinkum, pluck a little love cloud from the sky, take a little sun kiss, twinkle and start a sprinkle in your lover's eye. Catch a little moonbeam.
Patty, I have had so much fun talking about your brother, Michael Quatro, Mickey, as you call him, or Mike. And we've been going down the Lawrence Welk past history of his performance on the show for 2 years, which is a very long time for a 15-year-old boy, if you will. And he was on it until he was 17. This is 1958 to 1960. And I have some questions. You were talking about this last time, and I need to tease this out, especially because I was born and raised in LA. So your brother and his older sister, your older sister, Arlene, who's the oldest, comes out, chaperones him, if you will. Although I want to hear some stories because it doesn't sound like either one of them was being too chaperoned. But Arlene is still underage. She's 17 at the time, right? Or maybe close to 18.
Yeah.
So they come out to live with your aunt, your brother's sister in LA. And you talked about that they were going to school at the time. I'm curious if your brother was, I mean, he was obviously in the studio with Lawrence Welk and they were taping. Did he go to a special school? And when I say special, what I mean by that is there was a school at the time that was there for decades called Hollywood Professional School. And it was set up for kids in the biz, in the industry. And so many famous kids went there. I mean, you name it at the time. And the idea was that you would have all of your classes condensed into 4 hours. And then the afternoons could be spent filming on set, whatever it was. So I'm not sure, since you weren't there, if you remember where your brother went to school. I'm sure Arlene did not go to that school since she was not performing. But I'm just curious how all of this logistically unfolded.
Well, you know, I don't know the exact answer, but I would guess that the studio was such a big national show. I'm sure they had their methods of doing it all and making it work for these young boys in this little band. So it's very possible that he was in that kind of a school. And Arlene obviously wasn't. She was going to high school with her cousin and they were the same age. So they had their fun, you know, and Mickey was doing his thing that was dictated by the rules of Lawrence Welk and how they were handling all these young kids. So it's very possible that he went to that kind of a school.
Well, and so Arlene, you just said you're your cousin. So Arlene So they're again, they're living with your aunt. And so your aunt's daughter is Arlene's age, your cousin.
Right.
And so she was staying in that room, and your brother is staying with your male cousins. And
Yes.
you were telling us, or telling me, but tell us one of the antics about Mickey and his cousins and what happened.
Oh, they were always in trouble. They were pretty, well, Mickey, as I've explained, was very mischievous. And he, if there was trouble to be found, he'd find it. He was very hyper and, just having fun. They got in trouble once with some kind of a car incident. I don't know what they lived. They were on a hill, a steep hill in Pasadena, and the suburb was called La Cañada. They had this beautiful house that the husband had built, and he had also built for the Beach Boys. He was a construction guy. So they were, they already had their own little showbiz connections. And I don't know, they did something with a car one day where they undid the brake or did something and it rolled right down the hill. I mean, I don't know if it dropped into the canyon or what, but it was a mess. They got in such trouble.
Were they okay? Did they?
Yeah, they were okay. Nobody got hurt. It was more that the car got destroyed. And there was a big to-do about it.
There is
And
something very strangely symbolic. We've been talking about Detroit and the car industry, and there
cars!
your brother is demolishing that car, kick out the jams before it's even happening.
I swear to God, the cars, that cracks me up. How
That's
many car
great.
ties?
Well, we did talk about, is it 12th Street Rag, which is one of the songs your brother played on Lawrence Welk. We played it, I believe, on the last episode. And I was watching it, and I normally don't say things like this, but your brother was a cutie pie. I would have so had a crush on your brother. And he does, he has that little mischievous twinkle in his eyes. Like he's always looking for trouble. And you had said that he looked like a young, who was it, Johnny Carson?
Johnny Carson, yeah, that's what
Yeah,
he reminded me.
I think he's better looking than that. So, speaking of how cute he was, did he have a lot of female fans?
Yes, he did. Yes, he was pretty popular. I remember when he came back from the show, he was popular in Detroit. He was known, it got a lot of attention in the Detroit press. The boy coming back at the end, that would have been like 1960. But like I said, I mean, he had no trouble dating one of the Lennon sisters. I wish I remembered which one. I think it was Peggy. I think Janet was already like with a boyfriend and all that. And not Janet, the older one. I forget her name. Janet was the baby one. She was the little one. They came to Detroit once and we had dinner with them and everything and went to the country club. I have pictures of us standing with the Lennon sisters. It's so funny.
Oh,
So
that's cute.
he went out with one of the middle two. They were all good looking, but he got right in there and
Oh,
got in
I
trouble.
just love that. Well, before we bring Mickey back to Detroit, I mean, when you're a 15-year-old, 2 years is a really long time. And so there he is in LA, and he's on the Lawrence Welk show for 2 years, and he's playing and he's getting notoriety. You had said I'm sure he got paid, whatever that means. I'm sure if he's underage, I'm not sure how the rules worked back then, but usually it had to be put into a bank until he came of age, but
Right.
who knows? And so that during this time, did you or your family go out to visit Mickey and Arlene? Did they come back to Detroit? What was the, I mean, 2 years again is a long time. What was happening during this period?
We may have gone out there one time. It's my memory is sort of iffy on this, but I remember taking the El Capitan train. It was the big new train that you could sleep on and everything. And we went out there to one of the southern states. And I remember we went to LA and we were young because I remember the pictures. We were still real young. So we may have had one visit that we went out there and then back home and had a little trip. But Mickey and Arlene weren't coming back visiting Detroit. I mean, they were out there for the stint and that was it. So, that it lasted like 2 years and then he finally did come home.
And so, as you said, he came home, and of course, there was notoriety. I mean, it's a big show. 2 years is a long time. So, when he comes home, does he start playing music immediately? Does he form a band? What happens next?
He immediately was still playing with my dad. My dad had the booking agency going. Okay. So he was working all the time, running to answer his phone, you know, and I'll get it. I mean, it was like, he was a cartoon, I swear, running around and grabbing his phone to book another job. And Mickey saw all this. He was drawn to it. You know, he saw my dad making a good amount of money for his family, and it was very successful. And he even got asked, probably because of his notoriety from LA, he got asked to score an industrial film for the car factories. Okay. There he is. He walks in with all these bigwigs, right? An ice cream in one hand, an ice cream cone. And they put the film up. I mean, he's so irreverent. He's eating his ice cream and he's playing all the parts with one hand, you know, the up part, the down part, on and on. And their mouths were just hanging open because even that sounded good. And he haven't even put his second hand on it yet.
That's incredible. Well, not to keep encouraging. No, just to interrupt for 1 second, but not to keep encouraging people to go watch the YouTube of your brother on Lawrence Welk playing. But it's almost jaw dropping. You can't believe what you're seeing. His fingers are moving so fast. And I loved at one point the camera pans onto the pad, the keypads, to show how fast he's playing. And so in tune and in sync, and just the rhythm was incredible. So there he is eating his ice cream.
and then another, as he came back, Wurlitzer hired him to test their keys on the strength of his fingers. So he was the tester.
So I mean, Wurlitzer piano.
At what, 17 he would have been? 17, 18, you know?
Well, that makes me think about, what was the name of his Russian teacher?
Misha Kotler.
That he noticed that about your brother, about the strength of his fingers.
Yes, his little pinky was as strong as all the other fingers. He said it was the most unusual thing, and he had never seen that, which is why he thought he could make him better and do something with him. He was a real hard ass.
Hard ass with an ego, it sounds like, as well. But that's incredible. So Wurlitzer, it's not an easy word to say, hires your brother to test the keys. And so tell us a little bit about that.
What, the Wurlitzer?
Yeah.
Well, he I guess he would go to their factory and do testing on it. And they would give him a keyboard, you know, and stuff. He got favored with all that. And at that time, you know, soon after he came back, he did start wanting to book stuff himself too, watching Dad. So it started burgeoning up. I mean, you're talking about Detroit in its inception of the rock starting to grab hold. This is what, 1960, 61, 62. By 63, some of the bands were starting because we were jamming with them. I was taking folk guitar and they were playing rock. So I was getting introduced to the rock music, and it was coming up in Detroit. It was starting to gain some traction, this new music. It was, you know, something being discussed and interested by the teenagers, okay, that were starting bands like the MC5, like the Fugitives, like Bob Seger, all of them, you know, they were starting to start their bands early. And Mickey saw that. And he wanted to start booking them. He opened up a booking agency. And that was a huge turning point. It really was.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you that very fine piano man from Detroit, Mike Quadro. Mike is going to play his own arrangement of Smoke It's in Your Eyes. Mike, it's yours. Quadro.